Chapter 8, The Bonefish. Mara arrived at our house early on Saturday morning, and Mom insisted she join us for a bacon and eggs breakfast. Aunt Edith's favorite laying hen has disappeared, Mara told us. It looks like there was a huge scuffle around the nests. Feathers were scattered everywhere, and the other hens were frightened. We searched around, but couldn't find Henny Penny, so there were no eggs this morning. Well, enjoy these eggs, then, Mom said as she passed the gravy for the biscuits. How long do you plan to stay here in Isla Morada? Forever, I guess, Mara answered. I have nowhere else to go. It must be hard to leave your home up north. What about your mother? I stopped eating and waited to hear Mara's answer. My mother, she's gone too. Oh, how sad, Mom continued. When did she pass on? At that moment, Star, still in her pajamas, ran from her bedroom and climbed into Mara's lap. Can I go to your house? Shall I get my book? She asked eagerly. Mara smiled down at Star. First, tell me where you got your name. My name is Estelle. That means star. I'd rather be called Star. She began to sing loudly. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a star, all right, Mara told her. She's not at all bashful with you today, Mom said, seeming to forget the question she had asked about Mara's mother. I was curious to know the answer and was annoyed with Star's interruption. I'd better get over to Sharky's, I said, getting up. When you're finished, you go straight over to Miss Edith's and get Star. There's no need for Mara to be watching her once you're back, Mom said. I will, I promised with a little smile and a nod at Mara. Let me take a look at your gear, Dad said. We headed downstairs to the store. In the back room, our fishing poles leaned against the wall. My father looked over my rod and reel, then handed his best rod to me. Use this instead. It'll work better with a fly. He showed me how to work the reel and the thumb latch that controlled the release of the line. Thanks, Dad, I said, gathering the rest of my gear. I'll be back after the contest. Catch a good one, he said, and win that contest. I walked as fast as I could while juggling the rod, a tackle box, and a bucket, and slapping the mosquitoes that buzzed around me. When I finally got to Sharky's place, I was sweaty and breathless. Sharky had his flat-bottomed guide boat fastened to the rickety dock and was filling the engine with gas from a red metal can. Jewel was tied to a tree with a long, heavy rope, and Sharky had set up a run for Rudy with a pulley so he could walk around. But right now, they were both lying on the ground, Jewel with her long legs curled under her, and Rudy with his head on his paws. When Rudy saw me, he sat up and barked a few times. It's okay, Rudy, I said, patting him. He wagged a silky tail and lay down again. Sharky looked up when he heard the bark. I hope those animals will behave themselves while we're gone, he said crossly. I headed down to the dock. How did they get away last night? Jewel unhitched the knot on that tether I used to tie her up. How did she do that? With her teeth. Completely unfastened the rope. Sharky took a rag and wiped up some of the gasoline that had spilled around the engine and can. That mule is too smart for her own good. I've double-knotted the rope for now. I'm going to have you help me put up a fence and gate next week. I can't have those two running off and bothering people. I wanted to fish with Sharky more than anything, but now I wondered if he'd rather stay home and watch his animals. Maybe we shouldn't go, I began. What? Not go fishing? These two misfits aren't going to rule my life. Come on, hop into this tub and let's go. I climbed in and he pulled the starter rope a few times. The outboard motor coughed and then began to purr. I freed the bow and stern lines and pushed us off. We'll go to one of my favorite feeding grounds, Sharky said. That way you won't have to entrust me with your secret fishing place. I was curious to see where he would take me. We headed out to the flats between several small islands on the bayside. The sun was getting higher in the sky, and it was already sweltering. A mullet jumped to catch the mosquitoes that hovered over the still water. After a mile or so, we came to a shallow inlet near a stretch of mangroves. There's a channel parallel to this flat, Sharky said. See how the water is moving toward the bay? Bonefish like to feed back and forth through here. Sharky turned the motor off, and we drifted silently in the shallows where fish swam among the clusters of mangroves. He stood on a platform above the stern so he could get a better view of the flats and the fish below. From my seat, I could see flashes of silver and the sharp tails of a school of bonefish as they broke the surface and bent down to feed. This must be one of Sharky's best fishing spots. Sharky took a long pole, put it into the mud, and pushed us quietly toward the bonefish. A few of the tails disappeared as we came closer. Here, clip my jigger bug onto your leader, Sharky whispered. He handed me a lure that looked like a strange insect with pink squiggly legs and hooks on both ends. I thought you said I could use one of your flies, I said as I snapped the lure in place on Dad's rod. I did. Flies work, but you need to use a more delicate stroke. I think the lure will work better for a beginner. I'm not a beginner, I protested. I fish all the time. If you're such an expert, use your own bait. Here he goes again, I thought. Sharky, king of the old cranks. But I didn't say a word. Instead, I stood on the bow and cast the line. The pink lure with its squiggly legs landed with a plop, and all the tails of the bonefish disappeared. Look at that splash you made. That's enough to scare all the fish from here to Cuba. Here, let me show you. Sharky came up by me and took the rod. You need to flex your wrist, not your whole arm, when you cast. And don't let out too much line. He adjusted the reel and then cast. This time, the lure landed with hardly a ripple. He handed the rod to me. Try it again. After several attempts, I was able to flip the lure into the water the way a bug or fly might land. As we waited for the fish to bite, I thought about Mara and what she'd said the night before about Sharky. Sharky, I whispered, when we started out for Key West, had you planned to buy a mule? Was it really because of your bad leg? No, Sharky answered. Never came to my mind until I saw her. I used to work with mules when the railroad was going up, and in the war, too. I like them. They've had a raw deal. People joke about them and make fun of them, but they're the salt of the earth, hard-working and tough, and gentle if they're treated right. A lot like Sharky himself, I thought. So how come you bought Jewel? Didn't you hear the owner saying he would put her down? I couldn't let that happen. Besides, I know a good mule when I see one. Sharky put his finger to his lips. Now, stop yapping or you'll never catch a fish. We waited quietly, and before long, the tails appeared again among the mangroves and the shallow water. In the sky, a flock of bright pink spoonbills fluttered, their reflections mirrored on the surface. Other birds chirped among the branches of the mangroves, while I cast over and over again. The sun was straight above us now. It was close to noon and time to take our catches to Ashburn's Wharf. And I didn't have a fish. Suddenly, I felt a tug as a fish took off like a shot with my line. I've got one, I shouted to Sharky. Bring him in slowly, Sharky directed. Let him play with it a little. I did as he said. The fish sped off. Then gently, I reeled him back. I could see the glitter of silver as the fish fought against the line. Little by little, I brought him closer to the boat. Sharky grabbed a net and put it under the wriggling fish. Nice one, he exclaimed, pulling up the net and handing it to me. Here, you unhook him. It's your fish. Gently, I pulled the hook from its mouth and then placed the fish in a bucket of seawater. Let's take him back to the Ashburn's Wharf right away, I said. That's where the contest is being held. I'll bet I'm the only one with a bonefish. Sharky started the engine, and we putt-putted to the inlets that led to the Atlantic side, then up toward the Ashburn's place. I could see a dozen or so kids fishing off their pier or in nearby rowboats. Even Bessie was fishing. This time, at least, I didn't have Star hanging around with me. "Hey, Jake!" Roy yelled and waved us in. He held up a large sea bass for me to see. Sharky cut the engine and we drifted right up to the dock. I grabbed the bonefish out of the pail and held it up by the gills. "How's this for a catch?" I yelled. The kids' mouths dropped open. "We didn't weigh it yet, but I bet you no one else got a bonefish." There was some muttering among the kids, and then Billy yelled out, "Not fair. You had Sharky helping you." Several other kids chimed in. "Not fair. You're disqualified," Roy called.